the way he's been playing, the, you know, somewhat uncharacteristic willingness to give up future assets to try to help the team get better now. When you look at where they are, I think they can win the postseason. They can get hot. They can improve. Nine tough games coming up now. The Browns games, who knows, but they're still division rivalries. But you've got the Commanders, the Chiefs, the Eagles in six division games. It's not going to be easy. But I think the Steelers are in that mix. They're in that conversation of a team that by the time we get to January can win in the postseason, can win on the road in the postseason, could beat the Bills in Buffalo, could beat the Ravens in Baltimore, could beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, potentially, if anybody can beat the Chiefs. And that may be the reality. Nobody may have a chance at beating the Chiefs except the Lions in the Super Bowl when it comes down to it. But I still think the Steelers are capable, more capable this year than in other recent years of winning in the postseason.
Good morning, everybody. That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NBC, big-time NFL insider. He was on with the afternoon guys yesterday and says the Steelers can beat anybody, that the Steelers are equipped to win in January, but he wouldn't go so far as to say the Steelers are Super Bowl contenders. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Real quick, before we get into it, Doran, people saying on the text line that we are like JD and Turk from Scrubs. Charlie gets it.
I'm going to have to figure this out.
One cool black guy and one goofy, kind of cool, loserish white guy.
Makes sense.
Yeah, except they're doctors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Imagine if we took our ruckus, our hijinks, our nonsense into the hospital, and I'm just performing surgery and you're in there cracking jokes or vice versa. I'm just happy we do this. Where the stakes are high because we need to entertain people on their morning commutes, but it's not as high as, you know, brain surgery.
Right. We're not smart enough.
No. Well, yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I think you could do it. I think you have to be some level of an athlete, kind of, to be a surgeon.
Think on your feet.
Yeah.
Think quickly.
Yeah.
You know, adversity.
Yeah.
Get through it.
All that.
Mm-hmm.
One more text on the TV stuff. Ozark is a must watch.
Absolutely.
I really liked Ozark, but I found it to be kind of a poor man's Breaking Bad, in a way. A lot of similarities to me.
There is a lot.
Great show, though. And I love Jason Bateman.
Yep. He's really good character for that because, like, it just his emotions just get you the whole time.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any.
Right. He's he's kind of the straight man with all the chaos going on.
Yeah.
It's like a dark Arrested Development. Anyway, I do agree with Mike Florio that in a one-off, any given playoff Sunday, even though the Steelers haven't had playoff success in 7 years, that, yeah, the Steelers could beat the Ravens, or Steelers could beat the Bills, or the Steelers could maybe even beat the Chiefs. But in order to be a true Super Bowl contender, you got to do that in succession. And I can't get there yet. I do think the Steelers are better than Houston. They've kind of not been what you'd think they'd be. Now, injuries have had a lot to do with it, but their offensive line's not good, and Kendrick Green stinks, and that's going to, I think, ultimately kill them in the playoffs. I put the Steelers in a bucket with the other teams in the AFC. I kicked the Bengals out there under 500. You know who I'm talking about. The five teams, I think the Steelers are right there with everybody. And I think the Steelers could beat the Chiefs. But to be a bona fide, legitimate Super Bowl contender, you've got to do it, and you got to do it, and then you got to do it. I can't get there. But you win these next two football games, then I'm there. Then you've shown that in back-to-back weeks, you can play legitimate Super Bowl contenders and beat them. That's what happened in 04. Ben and them Steelers beat the Patriots and the Eagles back-to-back. Before that, I thought, what a great story. This team's very good. You beat two contenders back-to-back. Okay, they can be a championship contender. That's what I have to see to believe it.
Well, I think that it's very promising that we're talking about the Steelers even being in the echelon of the second tier. Because we know the first tier is the Chiefs. And,
yeah.
And I think that me and we both can agree on that, that I don't put them in that third tier anymore or even the fourth tier. I think they're in the second tier with the Buffalo Bills, with the, you know, the other teams, the Baltimore Ravens. I think that they're right there neck and neck. And that's where it's at. We did talk about this yesterday. Like, is it about chasing the Chiefs or is it about knocking off everybody else but the Chiefs? And I think it is about that. And I think that that's the Steelers' mentality. They have to be able – they're constructed – every team is constructed differently, right? And we know this every single year in the NFL. I mean, the Ravens are constructed on offense. We know that with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. The Chiefs are the Chiefs. We're not going to talk about them. Josh Allen is Josh Allen. The Steelers are very balanced. So they have to, in these next at least two games, beat or compete with the Ravens and the Commanders, but and do it in multiple ways. That's the way that I think that they can actually make a run, is if they continue to beat teams in multiple ways. Like, do they win on defense on Sunday? Do they win on offense next Sunday? Do they, you know, have Boswell go out there and have to win them a game? Like, if they can continue to have that little, like, you know, kind of circular, like, just keep going around the merry-go-round of, like, all right, we're going to hit you here, we're going to hit you there, we're going to hit you here, we're going to hit you there. If they can do that, they're the only team, I feel like, in the NFL that has that capability. And that should be their identity, because if they can do that, then they can definitely compete.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, and I'll go back to history again. And I'm not saying that this team is as good as the 08 Steelers. I do not feel like fighting that fight today. And that Steelers defense, for my money, historically good, and the opposite of Forrest Gump, underrated, Doran. Like, it doesn't get mentioned with the 2000 Ravens. It doesn't get mentioned with the 85 Bears or the 70 Steelers, but it absolutely should. Anyhow, I digress. Steelers in the playoffs that year, like, that's when the defense started showing cracks. And against the Chargers, they scored 35. The Chargers scored 24. One of the touchdowns came on a punt return from Santonio Holmes.
Uh-huh.
And then you'd think about Lamar Woodley making the timely play. Uh-huh. The Steelers in the Super Bowl, they gave up yards. They were cracking at the end of that game. Larry Fitzgerald's making plays. Kurt Warner's making plays. You make one massive defensive play, and then you make the massive play at the end of the game. You need to be well-rounded if you do not have the best quarterback.
Right.
And you need to have a winning quarterback. Ben back then was elite, but he was elite different. He wasn't in 08 putting up the numbers that Brady was putting up in like 07 or that Peyton Manning was doing. But at the end of games, he would make plays. On third downs, he would make plays. Then your defense would make plays and your special teams would make plays. That's what this team reminds me of. Now, a light version.
Yes.
Now go out there and win a couple of games against teams that I view as legit Super Bowl contenders and show us that you are that team. This second half schedule will prepare them. Will prepare them for that.
Yes, it will.
And I think you've nailed it, because they can win in multiple ways. That's how you get through a 9-game gauntlet. Like, oh man, the offense isn't quite on it tonight. Okay, well, TJ Watt has a strip sack and Minka has an interception, or Beanie Bishop, because right. You can always count on Beanie. He's got an interception. That's the kind of thing that can help you navigate a 9-game gauntlet. Like in Major League Baseball, you play 162 games. If you're really good, sometimes you ain't hitting, but your pitching picks you
yes.
up. That kind of deal. I think they do have that, but I'm interested to see how it plays out against Washington, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Kansas City.
Yeah. I think it has to be specific, and I feel like that they're a very specific football team. Like, their matchup is very specific to their game plans on either side of the ball. And going into this weekend, we've been saying it all week, like, this is the true test, these next two games, and especially on Sunday, whenever you're having a rookie quarterback in a team that is that hot, and an offensive coordinator that is probably going to be, you know, offensive coordinator of the year, Cliff Kingsbury. It is a true test, and we're going to get a very good gauge of what the Steelers team can be and what they are after this game. And if they go in there, and I think that they're a good football team. I don't think that this is a fluke. It's not a fluke, because you did it with your backup quarterback, most of it. And now you have a guy that you really are, you know, feel good about. Let's see you take that next step after you have some time to prepare.
You know what, Dor? That's a really good point. Maybe they're sitting here, seriously, at 8-0, 7-1 with Russell Wilson. And that is one last box I'd like to see checked. He's played great through two games. I mean, really has. Is that who he is? Or is there still 2 years ago Denver in there? Or a little bit of last year's Denver in there? Is this just the Russell Wilson we should expect to move forward week in and week out? I want to say yes, but I'm not 100% sure of that. I don't know. And I want to see him do that now. What would be a third game in a row, a fourth game in a row? Because, look, you know what Kansas City's bringing to the party every week. You know what Lamar Jackson's bringing every week. You know what Josh Allen's bringing every week. I can stop naming quarterbacks. Can Russell Wilson, at this advanced age, do this week in and week out? I think yes. Kind of got to see it.
I think yes, and I posted something yesterday that Tom Brady said about, like, just basically the quarterback position. He's very hard on quarterbacks, and, you know, as he's a broadcaster. and saying like how like it used to be hard to have to run plays. It used to be hard to have to read defenses. And I think he says that like the NFL has dumbed a lot of things down and guys can go in there, prepare throughout the week and go in and play and just play at a young age. It used to not be that way because it was so hard to prepare. I think that Russell Wilson is who we have seen the last two games because of how prepared he's going to be. He still has that old school mentality that not many quarterbacks have. Now, I know guys prepare, and I know Mahomes and Josh Allen, they prepare, but I'd like to bet money that Russell Wilson is probably one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL that prepares like hours and hours and hours for a game.
I buy that.
And I think that could carry him and keep him where he's at right now or maybe elevate him a little bit better. Mm-hmm. He's going to prepare. He's going to be ready. You know, there's nothing that, you're not going to shock him. You're not going to surprise him with any defense or any blitz. Like, he's going to be ready for everything. So I think that could help a lot.
Yeah, the ball's going to go to the right place.
Yep.
Now you got to make the plays and your protection's got to hold up. That's still the question I have. I talk about Russ's consistency and can he bring this every single week. I'm inclined to agree with everything you just said. When it's the fourth quarter and you got to throw one score game, one way or the other, and you're trying to beat Washington, let's just say, on Sunday, and you just have to traditionally drop back and pass, and you're not getting them on the edge, and you're not play action, and everyone knows you're throwing, can that line hold up? That is a concern to me. But you're going to get Zach Frazier back, and I do think as the season moves on, we've seen it the last few years, you would expect the line to gel. I'm cautiously optimistic that can continue. You're going to need more out of Broderick Jones. No doubt about that. But that would be another question I have. Can you hold up? But I don't know. I'm asking similar questions about the Ravens' offensive line. All these teams are flawed. How do you view the Steelers? I think most people would agree now that they could at least envision them winning a playoff game. Well, now close your eyes. Turn out the lights. Light a candle or two. Can you see Russell Wilson wearing that number 3 jersey, getting his fingerprints all over the Lombardi, kissing that bad boy? Sorry, I'm thinking about Sierra now. Can you envision that at 412-928-9370? We'd love to hear from you on this. Mike Florio thinks they can win a couple of playoff games, that they can be elite in January. I still want to see him beat a couple of good teams in a row. What say you? 412-928-9370. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And you can text us, brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And how about one more? We'll do one more. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Also, going to hear from Mike Williams coming up next. First time he talked to Steelers media. First, though, it's a Charlie Borges fan headline.
I mean, Russ, everybody see it. You know, he put the work in, time in, time out, a leader on and off the field. So just very thankful to have a guy like that, you know, quarterback of this team, a leader.
What's your understanding of what your role is going to be and how much playing time you might see?
We ain't really talk about that yet. Right now, you know, I had a pretty good day-to-day, quite a bit. So, you know, keep building the rest of the weekend, see where we at on Sunday.
Little passive-aggressive shot at Rodgers there early, no?
Maybe.
I don't think anything he said about Russ was incorrect. But I doubt he feels the same way about Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
I said I want to see more consistency from Russell Wilson. And maybe more consistency is not the right way of putting it, because through two games he's been consistent. I just want to see him continue the consistency. There we go. That's better verbiage. I'll tell you, I'd take him over Aaron Rodgers right now.
Right now, for sure.
On the field and leadership-wise off the field.
Yep.
I see the way he interacts with Justin Fields. I don't think it's fake. I buy it. Both those guys, when the decision was made, they quoted the same Bible verse. Like, I think these guys might actually be close.
Yes. Kind of so, have to be. Well, if you want to win.
Yeah.
And especially during the time that Justin Fields was the starting quarterback and Russ was sitting out. Like, Russ is not going to just go do his rehab and not be around. Like, he's going to help Justin Fields win.
Because mm-hmm.
he wants to win. He wants the team to win. So, yeah, they probably got real close whenever Russ was out and Russ helping Justin mentally.
I'm starting to think that Tomlin the whole time was in Russ's ear saying, hey, look, it's going to be you.
Yeah.
We're going to give you your shot. And that makes it easier for him to be supportive of Justin Fields, because You want to inherit a good football team. Like, when we bought our house, there's a lot we wanted to do to it, but we didn't have to build it from the bones up, right? You would hate to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends, right?
Right.
But sure made it easier. Throw a coat of paint, bring your furniture in, bada bing, bada boom, turnkey.
Yep.
He walked into a turnkey operation. Makes it a lot easier for a guy like Russell Wilson to be a nice man, knowing that it's always going to be yours and you want it to be 4-2 or better. 412-928-9370. Can you see the Steelers hoisting that Lombardi trophy? Yesterday, we had Ray Fittipaldo on, and he said 4-5 or 5-4 should really make Steelers fans happy. Nah, I want to win a couple games in January. What say you? 412-928-9370. We got a couple of people texting in. We'll get to you in a moment. It is 6:25. Time to make the call to Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Someone tweets in, Dorn, and says, I don't need to see the Steelers win the next two, but can you win one and be competitive in the other? I think that's fair.
Yep. Kind of where I was at yesterday.
Yeah. You'd want them to beat Baltimore, though, then.
Yes. Yes, because then you get that division one, that first one.
I'll say it this way, too. So I would like to see the Steelers win these next two games, and it would hit me like 0-4, like the Eagles and Patriots, and damn, this team has announced itself. If it's trending towards the Steelers being a wild card team, I can't ever envision them winning the Super Bowl.
Too tough of a road?
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you get the 2 seed... because I think Kansas City is getting the 1. And you're going to have some say in that because you'll play them on Christmas. But you've got 2 losses. They've got none. They're going to win 13 or 14 games. And I just don't think the Steelers will win 13 or 14 games. But you play the first at the ACK. You play the second at the ACK. I mean, you're probably going to be favored in those games. So winning the division is the first step. And while I want to see them win these next two, if you split and get one against the Ravens... I'm not going to give up on the Steelers as a contender.
No.
Anything like that.
No. No. It'll be a good start to what they're going to have to go through the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Texter.
Yes.
They haven't beat any upper tier teams. They win the games they should. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Atlanta's sitting there at 6-3 right now.
They're pretty good.
I think the Chargers are a good football team.
Yes.
I think Indianapolis with Joe Flacco could be a playoff team. So there's 3 right there. Denver, yeah, they got their doors blown off by Baltimore. They're sitting there with a winning record vying for a playoff spot.
All those teams you just named were with Justin Fields.
Great point.
So
now Steelers didn't beat Indy, but they were, I mean, bad start.
Right.
Blah, blah.
Whether they win or lose, those teams were against Justin Fields. This is a different story now.
Yeah.
We'll see. We're going to find out. They haven't beat anybody. Well, we're going to find out. We're going to see how good Russell Wilson actually is.
If the Ravens had to play... it was a Josh Johnson on his 15th team for 6 games. Are they 4-2?
No.
I don't think so.
Browning, is he still the backup in Cincinnati?
It's hard to say.
I mean, any team in the AFC North.
Seriously. I think about the Chiefs. And if they've... Andy right. Reid's a hell of a coach, and they got a good defense. They probably have a winning record without Mahomes, but they're not undefeated. I don't think... the Chargers, although they've got a good defense and a good running structure, I don't think with their backup quarterback, was it Easton Stick or whatever, maybe, I don't think they're sitting there at 4-2.
You think Mitch Trubisky and the Buffalo Bills would be?
No, I don't.
What they are right now?
I don't. And it's not just about the backup quarterbacks we're naming. It's also about the foundation. Steelers defense, Steelers running game, Steelers special teams. It's not just because Justin Fields played well in some of these games. It's that they have found different ways to engineer victory. And I think that's a great lens through which to view them, Doran. They're sitting atop the AFC North, and they played the guy they didn't want to play through 6 games. Mm-hmm. It's not like they don't think he's good. Of course they think he's good. That's why they went out and acquired him. But he's not as good as this guy, obviously. Good point by you.
Thanks.
You can give us a ring on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike Tomlin spoke after practice yesterday about the 2 newest acquisitions. When might we see these guys? And Washington, out of the 3 players that were acquired on deadline day that could play in this game, they probably got the best one. Is he going to play? We have some information on Marshawn Lattimore. But first, it's a Charlie Borges fan headline. Bengals at Ravens tonight. The line has come down a little bit. Was 6 when we looked yesterday. Baltimore now favored by 5.5. And the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Who do you want to see win that game, Steelers fans? You want the Bengals to get kicked out the club? Or do you want them to bring the Ravens down a peg? You can vote at _AdamCrowley. You can give us a ring on that, 412-928-9370. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. Mike Tomlin, after practice yesterday, had a little impromptu, little mini press conference during, and was asked about the new guys.
You know, I think we're going to determine that, and there's some variables in that equation. First and foremost, their ability to learn. You know, we got to be have an above-the-line assignment component to our play, and so that, and then, you know, getting a sense of what they're physically capable of. And so we got a few days to kind of sort through some of those things. This weekend, Sunday, is not the end game. We acquired these guys to be with us for the remainder of this journey. And so that's just my general mindset.
So not brought in to help beat the Commanders. Now, they could, but brought in for the long term. I think you're going to see both guys on Sunday. I mean, we've talked about this a bunch. No reason why you can't throw Mike Williams out there for 10, 15 plays. And Preston Smith, hey, man, go set the edge for 12 snaps. Go rush the quarterback for 5 snaps. I feel like it should be pretty easy for him to pick up. I'd expect both guys to play.
Me too.
Yeah.
Not significant, not like a huge part of the game plans, but they'll rotate in for sure. They'll create the depth that we expected them to create initially, and then as the season does go on, we'll see them get rolled into the fold a little bit more and more and more, and hopefully be very effective in the game plans on each side of the ball.
Mm-hmm. I think they've got the depth now necessary to navigate this 9-game stretch.
Yes.
Like that to me, okay, however you want to package it, oh, the Steelers are going for it. Okay, yeah, they're going for it. Doug Whaley said that yesterday. Like, these moves signify that they think they've got a shot here. I also think they understand exactly what they're in for. And even this next 2-game stretch, there's a bizarre scheduling disadvantage. The Ravens play tonight. The Steelers play on Sunday, and then they're both going to play next Sunday.
Yep.
So the Ravens get that mini bye, if you will. Someone text in, can you guys explain to me, and this is a good question for you, Doran, why these new guys coming in like Williams can be brought up to speed and play right away, but for some reason Roman Wilson, who's been around all season, can't be brought up to the same speed and get on the field?
Because he's a rookie.
Yeah.
And it's NFL football. It's totally different than college football. There's a lot of things you have to learn. You have to get adjusted to the speed of the game. You have to get adjusted even to meetings and the speed of meetings and, you know, just processing. It's hard to process at a young age for some guys. Some guys, it isn't hard. Some guys that their athletic ability can just take over. Roman Wilson he isn't a 6'3", 215-pound, 4'3", wide receiver that went in the first round. He's a third-round pick, and it takes a long time to process everything that is going on. And a guy like Mike Williams was a top 10 pick 10 years ago, basically, 7 years ago. He's had 1,000-yard seasons. He knows what to – you know, you hit the ground running whenever you come in Pittsburgh. It's just the same deal. The structure is the same everywhere you go. You know, the meetings are the same. The time's usually the same. I mean, the offensive terminology just changes a little bit. Like, you know what to expect. Roman Wilson has no clue what to expect. Even today, he doesn't know what to expect because it's a different Thursday compared to last year in Michigan.
Right. And I feel like it's important to point this out. I mean, he's on IR, so like he couldn't play right now anyhow. You miss all of training camp. That's when you're going to get spoon-fed the most information all season long. And he missed all of it. I mean, he missed all of it. Then they try to work him back, gave him a hat. He plays 5 plays. They were going to slowly ramp that up. He gets hurt again. So I don't think this is a negative on Mike Tomlin that a lot of people seemingly want to make it out to be. Oh, God, he doesn't want to play the rookie.
No.
They played Martavis Bryant, but not until 6 games had already passed. They've played rookie receivers in the past, but you got to be on the field.
Yeah. I mean, what did we say to Charlie in the early pre-show? It's about reps. Like, you got to have reps. I mean, I compared it to football. Like, you have to have the reps, or you're not going to be able to get on the field. You just won't be able to be productive.
If you were a radio producer and you worked at another place and you came over here, you're going to pick it up faster than if you are an intern and it's your first job out of college.
Yes.
It's just a reality. 412-928-9370. Oh, yeah. By the way, Marshawn Lattimore, cornerback from the Saints, who winds up now with the Commanders, just in time to play the Steelers. Well, it doesn't look like he's going to play. He was on the injury report yesterday, hamstring. And you brought this up prior to the show. How do you pass a physical?
Right.
I mean, I guess if it's a hamstring pull and everything else looks good.
Well, when did he pull it?
Great question.
He probably pulled it before he got here, right?
Coming off the plane.
Right.
It's the reverse Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams walked off his plane, bang, magically hamstring healed. Lattimore walks off the plane, bang, magically hamstring ouchie.
Yep. And then, what? So then you pass the physical whenever your hamstring's hurt?
Maybe he hurt his hamstring after the physical. Maybe it was a very intense physical. Mm. Maybe when they lifted his leg up over his shoulder, because I'm sure they do a lot of that, bang, a little pulley of the hamstring.
Yeah, maybe.
By the way, pulling the hamstring should be a euphemism like choking the chicken, if you think about it.
How?
String of ham.
That's how my friend tore his ACL in high school.
Quick choking story. The chicken?
No, He was playing football, opening kickoff of the season senior year. He felt a tweak in his knee. And at that point, he partially tore some ligaments in his knee. And the trainer's like, oh, we'll just stretch it out. And completely lifted his leg. And everything just went. And he was done for the year.
I don't know how you stretch out a knee.
He was just moving it all around.
One of those deals.
Yeah, that's not good.
Grab him by the ankle, you know.
Yeah.
Spin it around.
Mm.
I'm a doctor.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't think Lattimore is going to play because he missed the first practice. You only got two practices left. One of them is a glorified walkthrough before the game, and your hamstring's bothering you. I don't think we're going to see him on Sunday.
No, you're not going to want to test it. You just got the guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's dangerous. We saw what happened with Evans for Tampa.
Yep.
Okay, let's get him back on the field. You need to make sure you're 100, 100, 100%.
Look what they did with Justin Fields.
I was just going to say. And with Russell Wilson, it's not the hamstring, but the calf. Give it an extra 2 weeks because you need these guys to help you out over the course of the season. Texter, I thought Pony was the prince of pandering. Crowley is the king. Explain, please. What do you mean? Because think the Steelers are a good football team or because I'm saying it's not Mike Tomlin's fault that Roman Wilson isn't up to speed? Just let me know what you mean by that. 412-928-9370. I don't have my dictionary. I know what pandering means, but I'm trying to apply it to this. I don't understand.
I'm confused too.
Or does it have something to do with choking the chicken?
Hmm.
Please. Please explain.
Don't know.
Nor I. 412-928-9370. Perhaps you can call and tell us what you mean by that. Let's hear from Preston Smith when we come back. Preston Smith got his wish. Asked out from Green Bay. Is he happy to be a Steeler? But first, it's a Charlie Borges headline. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Preston Smith coming over from Green Bay.
I was excited. A few weeks ago, I requested a trade. I didn't feel like I was being useful in the system, and it wasn't catering to my play style. Moving forward, I wasn't surprised when I got the call. It's I got what I asked for, and I'm at a great place with some great teammates. And, I'm excited for a new start, and I'm excited for the rest of this journey for this season.
When I heard him talk the first time, Doran, I thought, oh, he wants to be used more. And that ain't going to happen here. But upon further listening, it's not that he wanted to be used more. I don't think he considers himself a 4-3 end. I think he wants to rush off the edge as a outside backer.
Yes.
So that's a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is different.
Yeah, it's different. And guys get hurt, so you are going to get opportunities. And guys pull themselves off the field because they, Highsmith and Watt, give it 100% every time they're out there. And they do need their blows. I think, ideally, I've pointed to this play too many times probably, but at the end of the game, Beanie Bishop picks it off and you don't have Highsmith, you don't have Watt out there. I don't think it's about in that circumstance, oh, you're going to have Herbig and Smith out there. I think you fold those guys in over the course of the game.
To have TJ and
Ty
Smith out there at the end.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Big dogs at the end.
That's good,
as the closers so that, you don't have to play 85. You're going to play 85% of the snaps. You just want it to be the most important 85% of the snaps.
And it worked out very well last year with Golden.
Very well.
They clearly, we talked about this yesterday, that they clearly wanted that to repeat this year. Then Golden, he has 4 days of practice and he's like, all right, I'm done, I'm retiring, maybe even less than that. So this is a really good, this is a better move in my opinion than Mike Williams at receiver. Like, I think that this guy down the stretch, whenever you get in the thick of things, is going to be a huge component to this defense.
I think arguably the three most important players are obviously Russell Wilson, TJ Watt, and because they don't have anybody else like him, George Pickens. And they now have significant insurance behind all three of those guys.
Yep.
It's massive.
Yep.
Texter, Adam is a panda bear. So panda bears I find very cute.
Me too.
They're mean.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
How do you know? Yeah, you looked at me.
My 5-year-old told me.
Oh, I believe her, though.
She does. She listens to this podcast kind of deal every morning when she wakes up, and it's very educational. She's always throwing animal factoids my way, and she told me pandas are mean.
Huh.
Now I'm going to Google it. Not that I don't trust you, Nora. They certainly have a dangerous side when they feel threatened, it says.
Well, doesn't everybody?
Not me, man. I'll fold like a cheap suit. You come after me, you're going to win. Are pandas friendly or aggressive? Considered a Chinese national treasure, the giant panda is regarded as having a gentle temperament. Huh.
These podcasts you're listening to. Jeez.
It was Pony and Muller.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Here's another one. I love you type in Google and it finishes it for you. Is it okay to touch a panda? I mean, I would suggest not.
They look like it's enticing.
They're very inviting to touch.
Oh, man, I would love to pet a panda.
Yeah, but don't.
Don't?
They are solitary creatures, like to avoid confrontation, just like me. But they have sharp claws and teeth and may attack to protect themselves or their cubs if provoked. Yeah, it doesn't sound different than much other animals.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, they're nice. Like a koala bear. Is a koala bear? Are they mean?
Might be thinking of koalas.
They might be mean. They
I put those
nice.
Right in the panda family.
Yes.
Are koalas mean?
I think they might
I
be
think
mean.
It's koalas.
Yeah.
Be aware of the drop bears.
Say it again.
Be aware of the drop bears. They just drop out of trees and attack you.
Koalas?
Drop bears.
The drop bears. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what falls on your head a lot in South Florida?
Coconuts.
Perhaps. Iguanas. When it gets cold, because they're cold-blooded, they'll just, like, chill at, and they'll be in trees, and bang, they'll, like, crush the front of your car, because they're humongo. All right, here's what AI Overview has to say about the koalas. No, koalas are generally docile, but they can become aggressive when threatened or stressed. Oh, my God!
An animal.
But they are wild animals with sharp claws and teeth. It's like looking in a mirror, the koala and the panda bear.
Mm-hmm.
It says, don't approach. Never touch or approach a wild koala.
Hmm.
We were at the zoo last Friday, and we went to the gorilla encampment.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the baby ones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Doran, I want to take one home.
Yeah.
And the one was breastfeeding. It was like laying there, and my baby was watching it going, ah! I'll show you the video if you're interested. It's very cute. Texter. Over 70% of koala bears in Australia suffer from chlamydia.
What? They're out there getting it like that?
They're getting it.
Wow. All up in the trees?
Mm-hmm. Damn. Wow. First, you start typing do koalas and it pops up, have chlamydia.
That's a shame.
Major threat to their population. We got, you know
How
what?
How does that even happen?
Doran, we've been looking for a cause, right? We want to champion some sort of cause. We want to make a difference in the community
Don't
or in the world.
It. Don't do it.
I want to start condoms for koalas. I think we could do a lot of good. Condoms for koalas.
Save the koalas.
Mm-hmm. From themselves. Because I don't want to stop the koalas from getting frisky. I just don't want them to die of chlamydia.
Yeah.
Condoms for koalas. Who's on board? Someone print the shirts and all proceeds donated to our, we got to start an LLC?
Yes.
Condoms for koalas.
Not we, you.
You're not in on this?
No. Don't care.
It's a real crappy thing for you to not want to be in
on. I don't
on.
Care about the koalas getting it.
Wow. I've never thought lower of you. All right, Pat Bostic going to join us for either the next 2 hours or 3 hours. We're not quite sure, but he'll be with us until at least 9 o'clock. We'll talk quarterbacks. We'll talk Mike Williams. Much to get to. Pitts, big game coming up on Saturday night. But first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Partly cloudy, high 64.